You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Friday, final podcast of the week. And one that we're going to kind of go all around the league on. As you know, yesterday was the NBA trade deadline, and it was thought to be rather quiet, or that it was going to be a little bit quiet. But then deals started kicking up. Cleveland went kind of bonkers and bananas there and had a lot of fun basically just trading for everybody and remaking their roster. The Pelicans made a move too. Some notable teams didn't make a move at all. So we're going to talk about basically all of the big deals of the day. We'll start with the Pelicans trading Dante Cunningham for Rashad Vaughn and probably stop talking about that after about 15 seconds. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that and what it means for the Pels, but we'll look just around the rest of the league. This will be a bit of a different podcast than normal. I'm also tired from being at Muses and trying to catch shoes all last night. So let's just dive right into today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's lead off with the team that the podcast is named after, and that's the New Orleans Pelicans trading away, finally, I guess we could say, Dante Cunningham to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for Rashad Vaughn. This move doesn't really mean much. If you could kind of see, you know, read the tea leaves here, where Dante Cunningham was benched for the entirety of that blowout loss to the Utah Jazz, likely wasn't going to really play much against the Indiana Pacers as well. So we kind of could see this coming. And it was reported yesterday that he had requested a trade and wanted out. Plus, with the Pelicans not really wanting him on the roster, this just kind of made sense. On the year, Cunningham was averaging 5 points per game. He wasn't good defensively by any metric you kind of look for in this. His defensive rating was bad. His defensive box score, plus minus, the real plus minus there as well. Not good metrics. He was worse offensively. Hit a PER, which no one uses anymore, of 8.6, just to show how bad it is. 15 is an average player there. So, like, nothing good. 5 points per game, 3.8 rebounds in 22 minutes is whatever. Like, you can replace that, no problem. In per 36 minutes, he was only scoring 8.2 points and grabbing 6 rebounds. Like, again, nothing special on the team at all there. Emeka Okafor puts up better per 36 minute numbers than he does, though he's only played 9 minutes this year. So it was time for him to move on. The Pelicans were never going to retain him. Remember, he was brought back after this offseason on a minimum deal where there was no real other interest in him. And it's more you need a body, and no one seemed, you know, too excited about this. So he heads to Brooklyn, where he can get maybe a new lease on life, whatever, play there or not. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. And the Pelicans get back Rashad Vaughn, a guard, the former 17th overall pick in the 2015 NBA draft from the Milwaukee Bucks, and a guy who's never just really worked out. 6'6", two guard, can play in the backcourt a little bit. His career numbers, he's averaging 3.1 points per game, 3.1. He shoots 33.7% from the field for his career. Though, you know, the last season and the past two seasons were a little bit better. But overall, still not great numbers whatsoever there. He shoots from three, you know, he shot last year 37.1%, before that 32.1%, and before that 29.3%. So he is a career 31.2% shooter. There's nothing, who cares? It's nothing good here. This guy's likely Rashad Vaughn, this guy. Rashad Vaughn's likely going to be waived by the Pelicans. They do this to almost just save a little bit of money. And I think, you know, may, again, get them a little bit more under the luxury tax. Before this deal, they were $1.6 million below the luxury tax, $2.2 below the hard cap. This deal moves them a little further away from the luxury tax. It puts them almost exactly at $2 million under the luxury tax. So that's kind of a nice thing, in about $2.6 below the hard cap. So hey, it saves some money for the Pelicans. You now have more money to use on the buyout market should you need it. It gives you, again, about $2 million to spend on a guy if there's hot demand for someone, which we'll probably talk about briefly maybe in the second half of the podcast here, or maybe most likely on Monday's podcast once we start to see the fallout and things settle from deadline day a little bit more. So look, they might keep Rashad Vaughn for a game. Alvin Gentry, after the trade, spoke to the media and said they have traded Dante. He did not confirm whether or not they were going to keep Rashad Vaughn. I think that kind of puts all the writing on the wall there. So nothing really to kind of look at it, this move, other than the Pels save some money. We've seen Dell make these kind of trades at the trade deadline before that just saves a little bit of cash that you can use in another way, in some other capacity. Don't forget to tune into the Locked On NBA podcast, the once a week podcast that's going to be moving to almost daily, that covers the entire NBA. They've got over their reaction to every trade, Cleveland's big day in remaking their roster, which we're about to talk about here, all the other crazy stuff. It was a pretty wild day in the NBA, so make sure you listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. So while the Pelicans had a quiet day, other teams in the league did not, starting with first and foremost the Cleveland Cavaliers, and basically everything they did more or less kind of had ripple effects around the league. This was impressive what they did with their kind of rookie GM, Kobe Altman, going in, stepping in for David Griffin, kind of shoved out of there earlier in the summer. He had to deal with the Kyrie Irving trade and an untenable situation he was handed. And everyone wondered if this GM was in over his head, couldn't do a good job. Also going into a spot where you don't have a ton of assets, different things. And look what he managed to do today. I think you have to look at their team, and we'll go over the deals. There's two real big ones, and think they came out clear winners at the trade deadline. The first move was the big surprising one. They sent out Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, and their first round pick, Cleveland's, not the Brooklyn Nets pick, in exchange for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. from the Lakers, giving them two guys on decent contracts who can contribute right away. You're going to step in and maybe fit better depth-wise than Isaiah Thomas did, who just did not seem to fit with LeBron James whatsoever as he came back from this hip injury. Then in a three-team deal, they acquired Rodney Hood, noted Pelicans killer from Monday night, and George Hill from the Sacramento Kings, Hood from the Jazz, while only sending out Iman Shumpert, a second-round pick, a bunch of cash, Jay Crowder, Derrick Rose, and the rights to a second-round pick swap in 2024 with the Utah Jazz. So you bring in Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., Rodney Hood, George Hill, and you only send out basically Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, the Cleveland pick, and Shumpert, and Jay Crowder. That's pretty damn good and a way to maybe kind of keep this team moving and rolling, because we've seen the discontent that LeBron seems to have this year. He's upset. They've been winning games, not winning games. They've looked to be a mess at times, particularly defensively. Some of that had to do with Isaiah Thomas. They've looked more or less like a disaster and not a team that was destined to make, you know, another finals against the Golden State Warriors. Now, all of a sudden, maybe they are favorites in the Eastern Conference, assuming they can get all of this together. I think it's tough to have this many new players when you don't really practice a whole lot during the season, but wow, you have to like the audacity to go out and just do what they did. I think that's the big thing here. Bring in four guys who are going to get significant playing time for you while having just crazy turnover on your roster, but I mean, whatever. Sending out, what, one, two, three, four, five guys. And then losing Dwayne Wade to the Miami Heat, trading him there for what's going to be an awesome homecoming. So bring in four guys, lose six, push you into more into the luxury tax. But to try and make a run at a title, I think you kind of have to do this. You've got an owner that's willing to spend, even in a small market like Cleveland is, considered in the NBA. And he's going out and he's trying to do this. And look at how creative their GM gets to make these deals happen. It would have been insane to think that they would have traded Isaiah Thomas just, you know, less than a year ago after acquiring him in the Kyrie Irving trade. They realized this wasn't working, so they went out and they did something, and it was fantastic. Now, again, four new players when you don't practice is going to be very tough to integrate, and you're going to see this be a rocky road for them for a little while. But make no mistake, I think Cleveland definitely was a winner at the trade deadline. So as we go around the league and take a look at what happened yesterday, that was obviously the biggest moves there. Another interesting trade was a three-team deal between the Knicks, the Nuggets, and Dallas, with the New York Knicks receiving Emmanuel Mudiay and sending out a number of different pieces here. But basically, that was the biggest thing here. Emmanuel Mudiay going from Denver to the Knicks. Dallas gets Doug McDermott. The Nuggets get Devin Harris. And, you know, it's kind of really that in a bunch of second-round picks exchange. Mudiay, who was drafted highly, top 10, I think, 7th maybe, I can't remember exactly, and has not lived up to the hype, has not looked good, and has been a bit of a disappointment. Maybe gets a new lease on life in the Knicks. That was really the other kind of big name traded. I had mentioned James Ennis III from Memphis potentially being included in a deal to the Pelicans. Something similar to it happened. So obviously Dante Cunningham wanted out. They at one point were rumored to trade him to Bryce Johnson to Detroit. So kind of just a swap of those two players. Well, Bryce Johnson went to Memphis in exchange for James Ennis and a future second round pick back to Memphis as well. When you could have done this as a three-team deal where Detroit gets Cunningham, Ennis comes here, and then Memphis still gets Bryce Johnson and a second-round pick. Didn't end up happening. Bit disappointing to see. That, I think, would have been a good fit. Added some depth for the Pelicans at the trade deadline. But it was kind of close. Had the right idea there, especially because Dante Cunningham was rumored to be linked in a trade with Bryce Johnson. So it's like the A plus B equals C, or A equals B equals C. So A equals C kind of idea. Never ended up happening. Still bouncing around and staying in Detroit and looking at the different moves. Jameer Nelson got traded to him. That's going to be his fourth team this year from the Bulls. In exchange for Willie Reed, they kind of swapped second-round picks in this trade as well. Willie Reed, center, is going to be potentially suspended for about 6 games or so. Is going to be a candidate for the buyout market. He's going to get bought out by Chicago. Pels might look his way a little bit. Also, should have mentioned before, in that three-team deal between Cleveland, Sacramento, and Utah, Joe Johnson goes from Utah to the Kings, where he is most certainly going to be bought out with the cash they received in that trade as well. Luke Babbitt went from Atlanta to the Miami Heat, where he'd been before, former Hornet / Pelican. Was he even a Hornet? I don't remember now. And those are kind of some of the bigger things. The final one, which kind of snuck in right around the trade deadline, was Orlando moving New Orleans native and former ULL player Elfrid Payton to the Suns for a second round pick. What's kind of funny about this is the other day he tweeted out, "If you're not good, you're gone." And then he was subsequently traded like a day later for a second round pick. Look, Pels probably could have gone after him. He's not good. You could see that the Magic didn't value him very highly. The league didn't value him very highly if he was getting moved for only a second-round pick, former lottery selection of the Magic. So, you know, could have been done here with the Pels. You got to forget that he might be coming up and getting paid this season. You could let him expire. At $3.3 million might have been worth it. But basically, Orlando didn't want to take any money back. So nothing you could really do there. I don't think the Pels really wanted to send out a second-round pick for him. They would have done it for the right player. Definitely not for Elfrid Payton. So a bit disappointing maybe to see the Pels not go after him. But again, he's not good. So, you know, kind of it's like no big deal if they didn't. Final note, the Clippers did not trade DeAndre Jordan. We all kind of anticipated this after they signed Lou Williams to that pretty good contract, actually, which maybe just makes him more tradable in the future, and you lock down an asset for when maybe you can get more for him at another time. So with them not trading away DeAndre Jordan, they're still going to be competitive. They've been pretty decent, you know, since they've kind of gotten healthy and are rounding into a little bit of form. Not ideal for the Pels because that's a team that could potentially push them out of the playoff race, with the Pelicans only being a half game up on them. So disappointing. We would have liked to see that team get blown up and not have to worry about that, and maybe only worry about the Utah Jazz. who also improved. Jay Crowder is going to be great for them there and make them even scarier defensively, while Joe Johnson really wasn't doing a whole lot. Losing Rodney Hood hurts. He's a restricted free agent, though, and was likely never going to be re-signed there anyway. So to get something for him certainly seemed like a good move for the Utah Jazz. No preview of the game tonight. The Pelicans are in Philly taking on the 76ers after they had to adjust their travel schedule to get into Philly later last night to avoid getting in and coinciding with the parade for the Eagles, the Victory Championship Parade, that was scheduled to end right near their hotel and give them all sorts of issues. This is after they were in Minneapolis during the Super Bowl weekend, which sounds like it was a disaster when it came to travel, hotel accommodations, all of that. So this team's been following the Eagles around now for about a week, and I'm sure they're ready to get that over with. Then they take on Brooklyn on the second night of a back-to-back. Get to go see your old boy Dante Cunningham here before getting a break, continuing on the Mardi Gras road trip with a game up at Detroit on Lundi Gras on Monday, and then wrapping up February 14th, Valentine's Day, that Wednesday, here at home against the Lakers before the All-Star break, and we can all chill for a little bit. Pels need to try and go 2-2 in these games, ideally 3-1 or 4-0. Can't go 1-3, that's going to really hurt, and you're probably going to be out of the playoffs at the All-Star break if that happens, which of course they can get back in it after. So we'll see what happens. Thank you all for listening to the trade deadline stuff this week. No big moves for the Pelicans, but it's time to start monitoring that buyout market, which we will cover next week. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all on Monday.